Good morning. How is everyone? Why don't we pray and then we will talk a little bit. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us, because you always take care of us. Thank you, God, for your word and thank you for how you speak to us when we read it. So now, God, I pray that you would speak through your word, that you would open our hearts to hear you, that you would help me explain it well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we have been going through Matthew 8 and seeing just this list of little stories of things Jesus did. And today we get a little mini list of stories inside the list of stories in chapter 8. Go to chapter 8. I had it marked at the wrong place. Okay. 8 verse 18, and we have this little list of two, and we're going to combine it with Luke's account of the same set of stories, and he adds one in, so it'll be a set of three little stories, and we're going to take them all at one shot, because they all are saying the same thing, they all have the same point, and what they're going to do, these stories will do, before we read them, let me give a little build up to them. They are going to confront our tendency to follow Jesus without truly surrendering to him. We would all like to think that we could follow Jesus without really surrendering to him, that we could follow Jesus and still be our own boss, still run our own lives, still make our own decisions, still be the owner of our stuff, still be kind of the master of our own little life, of our own little domain, and still say that we're following Jesus. It's following Jesus without surrendering to him, without really giving him all that we are. Following Jesus in word, but in reality, retaining control of what's ours, of our plans, of what we want to do, of our right to make our own decisions, even of our right to make the decision to follow or not follow Jesus, that I'm still in charge of what I decide to do. It's me staying in control of my possessions, of my house and my money and my stuff. It's me keeping my ownership of my priorities. I'm going to base my life around what I want to base my life around. I'm saying I follow Jesus, but, well, I still decide what my life is really all about. And the way that this looks in practical terms, just to make it real easy to spot, maybe in yourself, in myself, is it's someone who says, I follow Jesus, but doesn't regularly listen to the person they say they follow, doesn't regularly open this book, and I don't mean regularly like Sunday mornings at 10:30, but regularly in our daily life, open up this book and say, I'm following you, I want to hear from you, tell me what to do. It's someone who says, I follow Jesus, but isn't striving every day to become more and more like Jesus in their character and in their way of life. It is someone who says, I follow Jesus, but doesn't dedicate their life to guiding other people to follow Jesus. It's saying I follow Jesus, but not truly surrendering to him. And that comes from a bad definition of what it means to follow Jesus. See, we think that following Jesus is something that we do on Sundays, that it's being a good person who got baptized, who comes to church semi-regularly. It's saying, okay, being a Christian, following Jesus is, I made a decision at one point in my life, and now God has this commitment with me. He's going to give me what I need, staying out of hell, and as I go through life, Jesus stuff is something I just kind of add to my already full life. So I don't have much room, but I put a little bit of Jesus there around the edges. That's what following Jesus is, and that's a bad definition. And we'll see in the text that that's not what Jesus calls his followers to. And when we follow Jesus that way, when we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, but I'm not going to surrender to him completely, we lose out on the full life that Jesus promises his followers. We lose out on the life of joy and peace and purpose that Jesus says, follow me and I will give you life to the fullest. That it turns into something that we don't feel purpose in, that bores us, quite frankly. Being a Christian then becomes something that's like this burden we carry. It's, I have to go to church, I have to read my Bible, I can't do this, I have to do that. It becomes a burden we carry that we don't want to stop carrying because, well, then we wouldn't be saved. So I have to keep just trudging along. It's not a full life. It's not what I felt when the day I was baptized, when I was full of excitement because I'm entering into a new life. It's not that. We lose that life when we follow Jesus without completely surrendering to him. So here's the big idea for this passage, and we'll read it eventually. It's a lot of build-up, but this is a really, really strong passage, so I want to give it the right amount of context. The big idea from this passage is that Jesus demands total surrender from his followers. It's not optional. It's not something that you could say, I want to follow Jesus and I want to totally surrender to him. No, they both go together, at least in Jesus' mind. He doesn't accept partial surrender from those who would follow him. He demands that his kingdom become the center of the person's life who would be his follower, that it would take priority over everything, before everything, and that you would sacrifice everything for his kingdom. And one just note to clarify before we dig into the passage. We're saved by Jesus' grace because of what he did on the cross, not because of how completely we surrender to him. Surrendering to Jesus completely is not a way that we can somehow make God love us and buy his favor. It's just the definition of what it means to follow Jesus. We don't gain Jesus' favor. We don't gain God's forgiveness by being radical followers of Jesus. We gain Jesus' favor because we're in Christ and because of what he did on the cross, because he saves us through grace. But he does demand that if you are going to follow him, this is what it means to follow him. You have to follow him and surrender completely. Look at Matthew 8, verse 18. He demands everything that we have. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd following him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Where this whole thing starts for this man and for us is Jesus calls us to follow him. This man was responding to Jesus' call to follow him. Jesus called people to follow him. Come and follow me. Become like me. Dedicate yourself to what I dedicate myself to. Become a carbon copy of me. Follow me. And this man is responding to Jesus' call, and he says, I'll follow you. And Jesus calls us to follow him, and he's saying yes. He's saying with his mouth that he'll follow him. He's saying that he's going to follow him, but he doesn't understand the commitment. He doesn't understand what that life would look like. He doesn't understand what it means to truly surrender to Jesus. Like us, many times we say to Jesus, I'll follow you. I want to have a relationship with God. I feel lost without you. I'll follow you. But we don't know what it means to truly follow Jesus, what it truly will cost. And so Jesus clarifies it for this guy. He says, okay, you really want to follow me? Let me tell you what that looks like. Let me tell you what it looks like to live a life following me. He clarifies what it means to follow him. And what he says is, you have to surrender everything to me. You have to surrender everything. You're not going to have anything that you could call your own in your life. You won't have anything. The way that I'm living, that's the way you're going to have to live. You won't have any claim to anything that is yours. You know, I share this stuff, but then this is mine. My home is my castle. That's my car. I don't know. This is my stuff. No, Jesus is saying, I don't have anything. And if you follow me, you're signing up for that same life. Whatever you have, your home, your possessions, anything that you have, that's not yours anymore. That's mine. You don't have any right to it. You don't even have a right to say where you're going to live. Well, we've chosen to live here. My family has decided to live here. Jesus said, no. If you follow me, I have the right to tell you where to go. And you will have to go where I lead you to go. And that may mean leaving your dream home. That may mean leaving, but do you see me living that way? So live like I'm living. That's what Jesus is telling this guy. Not that we won't maybe live in the same place our whole lives, but we don't have the right to say, this is my life and I'm going to follow Jesus in the confines of the life that I set up for myself. No, Jesus says, you will have the same amount of stuff and the same amount of guarantee of permanence that I had in my life. I'm demanding everything from you. It's Jesus telling this man, following me is going to consume your life. It's gonna become your world. It's gonna replace what your life is right now. Following me will replace that. It'll become the only thing that's important. Of course, your family and other things will be important to you, but the most important thing to you, as far as it relates even to your family, is that they would know me and that they would follow me. Everything yours becomes mine. Following me becomes your identity. It becomes what you do. It becomes who you are. The only thing that is important, if you follow Jesus, is his kingdom, and you end up leaving everything for his kingdom. And then Jesus continues. Someone else comes up in verse 21, and Jesus is going to shift from stuff to priorities. In verse 21, Jesus says, another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead. And just, if you would, if you're following along in Matthew, flip over to Luke without leaving Matthew. So stay in Matthew with one finger and flip over to Luke chapter 9. And if you've been following along as we've gone through Matthew, I've tried to not jump over to the other parallel Gospels because I want to take just what Matthew has said. He wrote it. He wasn't counting on other writers filling in the holes in his story. He was writing this as a standalone thing. So for the most part, I want to do that. But today we're going to break from that because Luke adds another detail to this account of this guy, and he adds another whole scenario at the end. So I want to look at both of those because they all go together. Jesus said to him in verse 60, Luke 9, verse 60, leave the dead to bury their own dead. That's where Matthew stops. And then Luke adds on, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So this guy says, I'm going to follow you, but I got to take care of my own stuff first. I don't think, when I was a kid and I read this, I thought, that seems so cold. His dad had just died and there was a funeral and he wants to go home for the funeral and then come back. And then I don't think that's actually what Jesus was saying. I think, or this guy was saying, I think his father was probably aged. And so he said, listen, let me wait till my father passes. So I'm going to take care of my father. That's my priority right now. But once that's over, well, then I'll have time to follow you. I'll follow you. Of course I will. But I just have to do this thing first. And if we look at it like that, we say, oh, I understand that. Because that's what I do all the time. God gives me a task to do. He gives me something that I should do. And I say, that's a good idea. But before I ask that person to study, I really don't have time right now. I need to finish this big project at work. Once I have this project at work done, then I'll have time to do this thing. Jesus gives us things to do. And we say, yes, I would love to do that. Not saying no, saying yes. But I have this other thing to do first. And if you've ever been in that cycle, you know what happens. Once you finish that thing to do, then there's something else to do, and there's something else to do. And once you tell Jesus, wait, that becomes just a pattern that repeats itself. And Jesus tells the guy, listen, if you're going to follow me, this is a paraphrase, but read it. I think you'll see it in the text. If you're going to follow me, that becomes your first priority over everything else. Didn't say you'll never visit your father, you're not going to take care of your father, but he says following me becomes the first priority. It becomes the main thing that your life is about. Let all the other stuff in life take care of itself. You follow me. You put your priority on what is my priority. You follow me and give yourself to that. When we follow Jesus, that becomes our top priority. That's what it means by total surrender. If we give ourselves to Jesus, that becomes the center of our life. We don't say wait to Jesus. We say wait to the other things in our life so that we could do what Jesus has asked us to do first. And then what does he tell the guy to do? This is a huge key into what it looks like to give ourselves to following Jesus. He says, you go and what? And this is the part where Luke helps us. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Give yourself to that. Yeah, but my dad and I'm sure there were visits, but if you're going to follow me, the main thing you do is you proclaim the kingdom of God. You tell other people about how to have peace with God. That's what Jesus is saying. And for us, what that looks like is if you and I follow Jesus, that our lives should primarily revolve around helping other people know Jesus. Our lives primarily should revolve around being friends with people who are outside the kingdom of God, praying for them, studying with people who already are Christians, helping them follow Jesus better. That's what our lives should primarily revolve around. That should be our top priority. At least that's what Jesus is saying to this guy. And then let's stay in Luke, and we'll finish it off with the last little scenario, the last person who comes up to Jesus. And what we'll see is that Jesus demands a definitive decision, a once and for all decision if you're going to follow him. In Luke 9, verse 61, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, when I read this as a child, I thought, that just seems... can't go home and say goodbye? I don't think the guy is saying, I want to say goodbye. Because as I grew older, I learned what family approval meant and how much I depended on my family saying, yeah, that's a good idea. And when they would say, when I was facing a big decision, I would want to, you know, go ask my mom. Even when I was in Honduras, I would find a way to call home and talk to my mom and say, listen, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? And there would be a family council and I would get a call back. Anyway, that's more than you wanted to know about my family. But family approval is quite important. I think this guy was going to go home for one of two reasons, maybe both. He was going home to say, hey, mom and dad, brothers and sisters, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you guys think? This is a pretty big decision in my life. I want to make sure everybody else is kind of on board with me. Or he was going home because he wasn't quite sure he was ready to make this decision. And so he wanted to see what he was leaving behind and what his life would look like. And he was weighing the decision. Either way, he wasn't sure. He was saying, I'm going to do this, but not quite sure. And what does Jesus say? Listen, following me means making a definitive decision. It's saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to repent and be baptized. I'm going to make that decision. I'm not going to sit on the fence and go back and forth. I'm going to do it. And once I've made that decision, I'm not going to then decide, well, am I going to totally surrender my life to Jesus or not? I mean, I have salvation now. So no, it's a once and for all decision. I'm giving myself to Jesus. It's a decision that's already been made. And once that decision's been made, and once I give that decision to Jesus, then all the other decisions in my life also become his decisions, that he decides, that there aren't big family conferences for everything I decide to do. No, Jesus is the one who decides what I do if I'm his follower. Following Jesus requires this definitive decision where we make a decision and we don't go back and forth and we start and then we stop. And if today, if you say, well, I've kind of started and stopped, does that mean I can't? No. Jesus is saying, make a definitive decision. Just give yourself to this. Stop. This is going to sound weird. Stop starting and stopping. Just start and give yourself to this. Make this your life. Give yourself to it. Jesus demands total surrender from his followers. That's what the point of this passage, both in Matthew and Luke, is. At least the way I read it. If you read it differently, then make another application. But the way I read it is, Jesus demands a total surrender from us if we say that we are going to follow him. So what should we do? We should follow Jesus with total surrender. We should decide that we're going to be people who follow Jesus, not just in word, not just on Sundays, but our lives will revolve around following him. And maybe for you, the way that where you're at, that means actually making the initial decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you're at the place where these people were at the very beginning, and you haven't made that decision. And so you're hearing Jesus say this, and you're saying, wow, that's a total surrender. Yes. And maybe you say, I've never made that decision. And I'm now reading this, I've never understood it to be this entire all-encompassing, life-encompassing decision. I thought I would get baptized and then I'd be a member of this church and I would come to church on Sundays and that would kind of be the extent of my commitment to Jesus. And it sounds like he wants to take over my whole life. He does. He does. But see, here's the thing. If you've never made the decision to follow him, now you've heard what Jesus says it means to follow him. And now you're at the ideal place where you could say, okay, I'm ready to make that decision. If Jesus wants my whole life, if that's what he's asking for, then I will give that to him. I'll repent. I'll be baptized. I'll give myself to the Savior. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, just tell someone. And you can be guided through repenting and being baptized and following Jesus. And if you've already made that decision, then the call for you and I is to live out our decision. And I think as I read this, every time I read this passage, it's a call for me. I need to follow Jesus more radically. I need to open up my life more to him. I need to completely give him control over everything. I need to say yes without waiting to what he asked me to do. I need to give him everything and just, hey, the decision's already been made. Whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And as I was thinking about, okay, how do I help us think through the practical applications of this, what came to me is, isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? If we're God's children, doesn't his Spirit live in us? And don't we read, as we read this passage, don't we see that Jesus talked to each person and he told that person individually what following him meant in that point in his life? Jesus said, very individualized, it was the same thing, but he said to each one, here's what you need to know if you're going to follow me completely. And so if this morning, if you're reading this and you're a Christian and God's Spirit lives in you, I'm convinced that God, just like in me, God has been tugging on you and pulling on you to follow him more completely, to open up a part of your life, to do something, to give something up, to start talking to someone, to start praying for something. He's been pushing on us in individual ways to start giving ourselves more, surrendering more to the kingdom. And as we read this morning, he's saying, that thing I've been talking to you about, do it. Do it. You've already made the decision to follow me. Give yourself, surrender, just say yes to what I've been asking you. So I don't know, and there's a lot of comfort in this. I don't know what the Spirit's been asking you, and you don't know what the Spirit's been asking me, but as we read this together today, what unifies us is that Jesus is saying, if you're my follower, surrender, surrender completely. So what do you need to do to follow Jesus completely and surrender more totally to him? Either that clock is wrong, or something has happened today that I've thought about a lot and has never happened. I always heard when I was preparing messages that the only person who cares if you go short is you, because you're the only one looking at the clock. So today we're going to test that out. I don't think about time when I prepare. I prepare what the text, what I think is in the text, and then I get to the end and I'm done, and normally, you know, that goes longer than shorter. Today, we're making up for past time invested, so we went shorter today. Why don't we stand, and we'll pray, and then we'll sing together. Dear God, we come to you, and we thank you, because you are so very good. Because you love us. You love us enough to not let us tell you what we want it to look like to follow you, but rather, you tell us what it actually means to follow you. And then through your Spirit, you convict us when we hold out on you. And when we say no, and when we say wait, and when we say, nah, I'm not quite there, you push on us. And so God, I pray this morning through the words of Jesus that you would break down our barriers and help us completely surrender to you. We might be your followers and follow you completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.